Good morning. I'm new to Southwest Alaska. Before relocating to Dillingham, my family and I were in Montana for a short time, and before that, we lived in Southeast Alaska for many years. These places are all very unique and different, from temperate rainforests to the Northern Rockies to the bountiful waters of Bristol Bay in the open tundra of Southwest Alaska. Although the landscape varies dramatically, all these places have one thing in common. They all have vast stretches of public lands. Each of these areas is surrounded by state and national parks, wildlife refuges, national forests, tribal lands, or national conservation lands. I can't imagine living in a place without access to public lands. These places ensure we have room to roam, explore, hunt, fish, collect mushrooms and berries, and much more. This rings true here in Southwest Alaska as well. Just take a hike up Warehouse or Snake Lake Mountain near Dillingham to understand the true vastness of the wild that surrounds us. This is our playground, our grocery store, our chapel, and for many, our sanity. The wide open space gives us room to breathe, both metaphorically and literally, grow healthy, and preserve traditional subsistence in Alaskan Native cultures. While there may be advantages to living in the metropolitan areas of the world, finding these wide-open green spaces are hard to come by in the cities. So this week, after our first fall storm, and as the air becomes crisp and cool, the leaves fall to the ground, and the tundra turns from green to red and gold, to take a minute to appreciate the public lands that surround us. In fact, Saturday, September 24th, is National Public Lands Day and National Fishing and Hunting Day. In honor of this nationally recognized day, Togiak Wildlife Refuge will be hosting our annual open house to celebrate our amazing public lands. Additionally, we'll be dedicating this week's field notes session to the idea of public lands. We'll explore a bit of the history behind public lands, as well as discuss the benefits of these places. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Amanda McCutcheon, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The philosophical concept of public lands in the Americas is not necessarily new. Long before Columbus landed in 1492, tens of millions of people inhabited the Americas. These people shared the abundant natural resources of North and South America. Although large meccas and centers of trade did exist, most of the native people from Alaska to Chile lived in villages or seasonal hunting camps. The land was home. It was the commons that fed and clothed the people. Ancient traditions guided the people to use the land sustainably, only harvesting what was needed for the survival of the villages. Traditions and respected methods of hunting and gathering were passed down from generation to generation. Stories were told in order to not overextend the resources of the land. Sometimes these timeless practices of traditional ecological knowledge were still not enough to prevent the tragedy of the commons. In areas of scarcity, such as in the desert southwest of the United States, clear signs of natural resource depletion are evident in the ancestral Puebloan cultures during the 13th century. The limited natural resources and farmland likely led to wars and violence with their southern neighbors. Other groups in Alaska and throughout the United States, in the Americas, as well as elsewhere, battled over primary hunting territories and trade routes. Luckily, here in Alaska, the resources were and still are bountiful. For most Native American cultures, the modern concept of public lands and formal conservation laws are foreign ideas. Alaska Natives were able to avoid that tragedy of the commons or depletion of natural resources. Therefore, the need for things like formal conservation law, public lands, and designated wilderness were not necessary. The rush of people from Europe arriving in the Americas with their sights set on settlement, economic gain, and ownership quickly changed the balance of man versus nature. The Great Plains were once a place with an estimated 30 to 60 million bison. In a few hundred years, by the 1880s, the wild bison were hunted to near extinction, leaving only 1,000 animals. The story is the same for the beaver and many species of birds who were hunted for their plumage. The land experienced this hardship as well. The once vast expanses of the American West were quickly parceled up and sold and given away to the newcomers. After the Declaration of Independence in 1776, most land beyond the Appalachians were deemed public domain. Yet, over the next century, most of the land in the United States would be divided, settled, sold, harvested, mined, or deforested for economic and personal gain. A growing sense of urgency was developing to preserve and conserve our forests, fish, prairies, mountains, animals, wild landscapes, as well as traditional ways of life and cultures. The conservation movement to protect the wide open spaces from further destruction began in the mid-19th century and made big strides in the early 1900s with famous naturalists like John Muir. During this half century, the nation's first refuges, forest preserves, and national parks and monuments were designated. The history of these lands is not all rosy. In many cases, public lands were acquired when the federal government violated treaties with Native American tribes. Today, work remains to reconcile these past grievances and to honor and support traditional subsistence and cultural practices. In other instances, entrepreneurs and businessmen saw the lands that were set aside as a waste of resources. Today, America's public lands comprise of 560 national wildlife refuges, 400 national park sites, 154 national forests, 873 national conservation lands, and in 2014, totaled 240 million acres across the United States. President Obama has added more acreage to this in the last 2 years. Despite this vast number, public lands still stir controversy. Some American Indian tribes are fighting for the subsistence rights guaranteed to them in treaties and on some public lands. Some groups believe that public lands need to be given back for private ownership and economic development. Others would like to see the states manage the federal public lands. On the other hand of the spectrum, many conservationists say much more protection is needed. This brings about the age-old debate of what are these spaces worth? What is public land? What is the price and value of public land? How do we determine this? Is this evaluated in how much land can be sold for or how many materials and minerals can be extracted? Is it measured in board feet or by the value of the fishery? How about the cost to manage the site or maybe the dollar amount of economic benefit it brings to the community? What about our own health? What is the value and cost of clean air and water? How do we put a price tag on healthy habitats for ourselves as well as the fish and wildlife that we hunt and fish for? As an employee with the National Fish and Wildlife Service, my views may likely be biased. However, the national significance, intrinsic value, and overall worth of our nation's public lands is truly priceless. Numerous health as well as economic studies have shown that the benefits of federal public lands are extensive. For instance, outdoor recreation has proven to lower rates of stress and anxiety, obesity, ADHD, particularly in children, cardiovascular disease, depression, and other mental health issues. Additionally, it has been shown in these studies that not going outside in nature can actually be the cause of some health issues. It is well documented that the stress from everyday life, such as crowds, artificial stimulation, and time spent in human-constructed environments, can lead to aggression, exhaustion, and a loss of vitality. Additionally, it has proven to lead to more substance abuse as well. Spending as little as 2 hours a week outdoors can dramatically improve our lives. Green spaces and open public lands are literally keeping us alive. These lands not only make us healthy, but economic studies show they also provide wealth to communities like Dillingham. On a grand scale, outdoor recreation generates $646 billion each year nationwide and provides 6.1 million jobs, according to the Outdoor Industry Association Recreation Economic Report published in 2012. In fact, communities that neighbor federal public lands tend to show positive economic benefit and outperform communities without nearby public lands. In 2013, a study was done on the economic benefit of national wildlife refuges in the United States. Our very own Togiak National Wildlife Refuge was included in this study. It was found that on average, for every $1 appropriated to the refuge system, $4.93 is generated in economic output. For Togiak and Dillingham, the number was higher at $5.15 generated for every $1 appropriated, with an overall economic benefit each year of $14 million. Our National Wildlife Refuge System is the world's greatest network of lands dedicated to wildlife conservation, but is also an important contributor to our economy, attracting more than 46 million visitors from around the world who support local restaurants, hotels, and other businesses. Every dollar we invest in the refuge system and public lands generate huge dividends for our country, said Secretary of the Interior Sally Jewell. So I guess it turns out you really can get paid in sunsets and rainbows. In Alaska, refuges are mandated to do more than protect habitat and wildlife. But additionally, the Alaska refuges are tasked with protecting the traditional cultures and subsistence way of life of the Alaska Natives. Rural Alaskans harvest approximately 36 million pounds of fish and wildlife for food, equaling $295 million worth of grocery bills. This wild food supply makes up one-third of the caloric requirement of rural Alaskans. Most of this subsistence is harvested from public lands managed by state, federal, or tribal entities. While there may be debates and controversy over how to best manage these lands, who should manage them, and the laws and regulations that are enforced within their boundaries, there is no debate about their value to us. Rural Alaskans depend on the public lands for our food, mental health, and physical health, as well as economic vitality. These lands are priceless. Not only do we benefit from these lands, but we also collectively own them. These lands are yours and mine. If you have questions, concerns, comments about how they are being managed and why decisions are being made, I encourage you to get involved. Refuges, parks, and other lands invite public comment and, in fact, are mandated by law to hear that public opinion. The saying, "It takes a village," is true not only in raising our children, but also in caretaking and managing our public lands. We invite you to help us protect these special places. So in an effort to recognize how important refuges and other public lands are to us, Togiak National Wildlife Refuge is throwing a party. Join us for an open house on Saturday, tomorrow, September 24th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our downtown offices in Dillingham. We'll have a campfire with hot dogs and s'mores and tons of fun activities for the whole family. Come celebrate National Fishing and Hunting Day and National Public Lands Day with us. You can take a shot at archery or learn to cast a fly rod, or maybe you would like to learn about the newest, most lightweight gear and try wild game sausage cured by our own refuge staff. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow on Saturday, September 24th for this great event. For Field Notes, I'm Amanda McCutcheon. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.